does what he does. But in days to come, we'll see why the Lord does what he does when we look back, and we'll see how God was working. I want you to take your Bibles with us this morning and turn with us over to the book of Psalms, chapter 23. Brother Brandon said that they was going to try to come this morning. I didn't know for sure if they would. And I'm not just preaching this for him, but this was what was on my heart yesterday. It just seemed to be heavy on my heart. And a lot of times we'll focus so much on the first portion of Psalms chapter 23. I think I even quoted it 2 Sundays ago. But I want to read it again, and I want to, with the Lord's help, try to bring out some things the Lord showed us. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word, Psalms chapter 23, starting in verse 1, we'll read it all. The Bible said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You may be seated this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again this morning. We thank you, God, for the sweet Holy Spirit we've been able to feel, Lord, through the song service. Thank you, Lord, for the good, sweet testimonies, and Lord, the testimony of salvation, Lord, this morning. And I'm thankful, Lord, you've allowed us to be in your house again. Lord, you knew every heart that would be here today, and we didn't. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, to get ourselves out of the way for just a few moments. Lord, you might be able to use us. Pray, Lord, you'd be with Brother Troy this morning as he stands. I pray you'd give him liberty, Lord, and help him, Lord, as he stands instead for his dad. Pray, God, you'd be with Brother Sammy this week, Lord, as he undertakes surgery, Lord, next week. And, Lord, I pray, God, you'd be with others here in the church, Lord, as continue dealing with sickness. Touch those that are lost, Lord, we might see them saved. And I pray if there's any in the building, Lord, it's not where they need to be with you. Lord, only you and them know that. I pray that you touch their hearts in a special way. Lord, you might be able to continue using them all the days of their life. And Lord, as the scripture said, we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen and amen. I thought about this week as most of the time when we're talking about Psalms chapter 23, where David began to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Those first three verses talk about how God takes care of us and how that God is always there to give us what we need. A sheep needs a shepherd, amen. I want you to know that this morning. And as long as you've got a shepherd, you'll have no want things in this life. He didn't say he'd always give us what we want, but I'm glad that he takes care of our needs, amen. He talked about in one place, he said that it's not the ravens and the lilies of the field taking care of, and certainly he's going to take care of his sheep as a good shepherd will. And David noticed that of how God took care of his sheep. Amen. He said in verse number 2, he said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water." Amen. I'm glad, Brother DB, don't cast to a field where the grass ain't green. It withered up and no good. Not something to eat. I'm glad he's always prepared for us something to eat and took us to beautiful places and give us something to drink and carried us beside the still waters. Amen. David noticed that. But he said this, he restoreth my soul. Amen. I begin to think about verse 3 this week. And as we go on through this chapter here, the Bible said he restoreth my soul. I believe David remembered a day when David wasn't where he needed to be with the Lord. I was talking about it in Sunday school, where David had went and had Uriah killed and took Bathsheba to be his wife. Amen. That was bad enough, but I want you to know, worse than what he done, he sinned against God. Amen. The fellowship was broken there, and David couldn't be happy. But one day, he found a place to pray. Amen. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And here he was in a psalm, singing a song, praise the Lord. He said, he restored my soul, which is to say, I prayed and asked him, and he did it. Amen. Amen. You know why some of you can sing glory, glory, glory? Because he said he'd save you. Like the old song the Taylors used to sing, and I asked him to save me, and he did. Amen. And so I got joy in my heart, unspeakable and full of glory, overrunning and overflowing, excited about where I'm headed. And that one day I called out on the Lord, and he saved me, pulled me up out of a horrible pit, set my feet on a solid rock, and established my goal. Ain't you glad you saved? Amen. Amen. Oh, he said he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Let me help you out on this one. We don't need much help, do we? He leads us to go down the right path. So his name is not ruined. Amen. That's all David will say. He always leads me down the right path. The right path is a righteous path. Amen. He said, for his name's sake. Amen. There's something about the Lord's name that don't need to be dragged through the mud. And he loves us enough to lead us down paths of righteousness. Amen. Oh, but he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know what I believe David was thinking about? He had enemies on every hand. Saul was looking for him. Saul wanted to kill him. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I like this because a lot of people have said, the scripture says this, oh death, where's a sting? Oh grave, where's thy victory? Amen. I begin to think about as David had death over hovering him and everybody on every hand after David. I'm glad today, amen, that not only does God take care of us, but he watches over us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And David said this. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. He wasn't afraid of Saul. He wasn't afraid of his enemies. He wasn't afraid of the devil. You know why? Because he said, thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Amen. Said something in Sunday school this morning. And I mean it, I want everybody to love me. Amen. But when we're living for the Lord, we don't care if anybody loves us. Amen. If we're preaching the truth and walking the truth and living the truth, then we hope people will love us. But David had enemies. Peter had enemies. Jesus had enemies. If you live for the Lord, you're going to have enemies. People will have things to say. But Jesus never said nothing that offended me. Amen. A lot of people. There's been times in my ministry, I'd have to be honest with you, had I got to a point in my life where I just about said, what's the reason in preaching? Ain't nobody listening anyway. And they don't love me. And they don't want to shake my hand. And they turn their nose up to me and walk by. And when I mean well, they turn it out for evil as if I've done something wrong. Paul even said one place, he said it was a point in time in your life when you'd have plucked your very eye out. Amen for me. He said, but now that I've told you the truth, have you become my enemy? Sometimes we make enemies because we preach the truth. Amen. But David said he was comforted because the Lord was with him. Amen. Let me just say this. Sometimes when I feel like nobody's with me, I know thou art with me, Lord. Amen. And I'm comforted in knowing that I'm not traveling alone. As a song my aunt and uncle used to sing when he was able to play the guitar. And it says this, I do not walk alone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've never been alone since the day God saved me. Amen. Boy, I've been in the car by myself a few times. I've been back in the warehouse by myself a few times. I've been in the church building by myself a few times. But I always recognize His presence there with me. He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. He'd go with me all the way, even in the world. He said this. This part I wanted to get at. He was talking about his enemies walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But in verse 5, he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I got to studying on that a little bit. That's the thought. It was on my heart a little bit. Thou preparest a table. Amen. And one of the writers had said, praise the Lord. It, when we're in battle and we're on the run, it, most of the time David was just having to run by and grab something to eat real quick. You remember in one of the temple, there he went and was running on the run, and he stopped by and the priest said, all we got is a little shoe bread here. I got the knife of a Goliath wrapped up. I could get you. Amen. Didn't have time to sit down for a big Thanksgiving dinner or something fancy or go to a restaurant. All he had time for, Brother EJ, was to grab something little and stay on the road because somebody was after him. That ain't the way God treats us. I got to reading this statement here. Thou preparest the table before me. I got to study on that. And it said to pull all the fine china out. And lay the napkin cloths out and fold it just right. Because there's a guest a coming. And get all the linen cloths laid out on the table. There's a few times we've ate at the house, just me, Amanda, and Ryan, Naomi and Ryan. And Amanda does the table nice, but sometimes other people come over and the white shawl comes out. Amen. And some of the good china comes out. I remember when I first come here, we had a Christmas dinner for a lot of the widows, and some of you got to come. You might remember it. And she went and bought brand new plates and glasses. Amen. We didn't even have a set that everything could match. And she said, honey, I'd really like for everything to match. She wanted a table set just right. Everything got moved out of the living room and got shifted back. And there's two tables on with a white cloth and all the glasses and the plates smashed. A bunch of them broke since then. And every time I see one, I think about the night she prepared a table for our loved ones. Amen. Ain't you glad God prepares a table for us? You know what he said? In the presence of our enemies. Usually you ain't got time to sit down and eat when somebody's after you. But he said, David, I prepared a table for you. I want you to sit down and eat and enjoy yourself. While you're eating, I'm going to protect you. It's got all over me this week. There's been a few times I've got to sit down and eat real good at the king's table. And I knew the devil was hot on my trail. You ever had the devil after you? Well, there's two or three of us trying to live right. Amen. He ain't after you. That's because you're on his team. Amen. The only men I never hit or knocked on the ground was the ones that was wearing the same color jersey as I had on. If you're against him, he's after you. Amen. But God will protect you so you can eat. Amen. You know, the devil's probably in this building this morning. Ain't no doubt in my mind. And I've just pulled up and I'm having a good old time this morning. And God's holding him at bay. Now he might get on me when I leave here. But tomorrow night when I get up in Woodstock, Brother Randy, you get up there tonight, he's going to put the devil at bay again. Amen. It's amazing to me. I can go into a building where people won't smile, won't shake my hand. I can climb up in the pulpit and up in the podium, feel God's peace and presence, see a table spread for a king. All I got to do is pull up and eat. Amen. If you're not eating this morning, it's only your fault. Thou anointest my head with oil. I was studying a little bit on this. One of the writers said that the anointing of oil is just the starting of good things. A priest couldn't even go in the presence of the Lord till he had been anointed with oil. He couldn't even get in the holies of holies, Brother Tony, till he'd had the oil put on his head. Amen. He couldn't pray for nobody else till God had put the oil on his head. And David said, thou anointest my head with oil. David was pretty much saying, God, you've been good to me. You've already anointed me with your oil, which was a picture of his spirit. I'm glad this morning. And I can say, I've been anointed by the Holy Spirit, amen, ever since the day I got saved, amen. If you got saved, you did too. Hope this don't offend you. Some of them will say, well, until you speak in tongues, you ain't got the Spirit. Well, Jesus didn't speak in tongues. Paul didn't speak in tongues. He did the least of any of them. He did a little bit on his traveling, Brother Andy. But he did it little as possible. You know what he said? He said, I'd rather speak 10,000 words in the language that's understood than just speak a few words in an unknown tongue. Praise the Lord. And that's the way I feel. I'd rather preach an old southern drone Villarica accent and everybody can understand what I'm saying than to get up here and babble off something and I don't know what I'm saying and neither do you. Amen. I've heard a few people preach in English and I still don't know what they're saying. I better leave that alone. I'll get in trouble. This is the one I was thinking about, Ty, this morning, Brother Brandon, Sister Stacy. And God just confirmed it when we got in the meeting. My cup runneth over. You ever had your cup run over? Most of the time, I could just be honest. Every time my cup runs over, it's an accident. I don't know about you, but I'm a heavy drinker. You got to be careful how you say that around some people. But Amanda told me, she said, if you had ever started drinking alcohol, you'd have never made it. I used to never drink water. Ever. I always had to have a taste to it or something. But you get working on a construction site, 96 degrees, water tastes pretty good, don't it? Boy, I've been tearing that water up. The other day, he said, you get a water? I said, yeah, I got one bottle. I'm just trying to make sure I don't waste it. He said, it's there to be had. And ever since then, I drink about 8 bottles every day. About every hour, I got to go get me a bottle of water. Amen. But I've shared this before, but man will get me a glass sometime. I'm going to talk to McDonald's here for a little. They've been fixed that machine. They're cutting me out about 25% of drink. You notice that here lately? And you know how I know? It don't feel as heavy. heavy. And I can see this little gap of light in there, and I flip the lid off, like, good night. There ain't even nothing in there to hardly get started. It's pitiful. You know, I'm paying the same price I used to pay. Get more ice and less drink. God don't do us that way, praise the Lord. I'm not trying to be funny, I'm just telling the truth. There's been a few times Amanda's got me a glass, and I've sat there and tried to just, I won't try it up here because I know I'll make a mess. But I'd fill that thing up like it, and she'd say, honey, that ain't enough. And boy, I'd just keep on. I like to get it right up the rim. Yeah. There's been a few times, Brother D.B., I'll be sitting at the table, and I can see it. That little... She'll clean up after me unless I'm playing around like that. I got to clean it up if it runs over. Amen. Well, let me just share something with you real quick. I'm about done this morning. Sometimes in meeting, like this morning, I got to see so many people crying. And to see God up in heaven with a big old pitcher pouring down. I remember one of the old singers, he said, I got under the spout where the glory was running out. Amen. I'm glad when he fills me with his Holy Spirit. And I like it better when I overrun on everybody else around me. Amen. It's good when it runs over. Amen. You know what one of the writers said? That means God has more than enough when he fills your cup up and it's running out. You know what Dave was saying? He said, Lord, you prepared a table for me and pressed my enemies. You've anointed me. You started me off with good things. And he said, ever since you anointed me, my cup's been overrunning. I could honestly stand here today and welcome Grove Baptist Church. I can't say every day I've been happy. Can't say every day I've had a smile on my face. The day Ty cut his foot, he'll always remember that's not going to be a day he's going to be happy about or smile about. But the Lord was with him. Amen. And then look back on days like that and his cup's going to get full. Every time God does something for him good. Every time he gets up on his foot, he'll be glad he's got part of his foot left. Every time he runs, he's going to be glad that, amen, that God left him enough he could run on. What I'm getting at is this. God has cut things out of our lives, and certainly we all miss them. We've lost mates. We've lost children. Brother DB's lost fingers. Ty's lost part of his foot. And I want you to know something today. God won't leave you. God will be with you. No matter what you go through, he'll keep your cup full. And not only will he fill it up, he'll overrun it. Amen. There's been a few times, I'm going to share this and I'm done. Amanda come home one night, ain't much of a cooker. I hear all these other men. Brother D.B. is talking about cooking for his kids. Naomi and Ryan's going to be in sad shape. They waiting on Daddy to cook for them. I'm a pitiful cook. I won't never forget Amanda was gone one night with Jody. Some of you remember Jody. She got cancer and passed away. She was Amanda's roommate years ago. And one night she was gone with her and they come home. Amanda come walking in the door. I was about 6 feet back from the stove trying to get a hold of a burger with a spatula. And the grease was going crazy. Amen. Been a few times I've had macaroni and cheese put on the stove. And I thought all you had to do is pour the shells in. Turn it on 450, 500, maybe even 600. Amen. I tell you, I don't know how to cook. I just thought you had to get it boiling. That Brother Tony, but then it'll boil over and run all over the stove. And let me just say this morning. I like it when you run over. Because if I'm near you, you'll run on me. Amen. Randy, I like you keeping your cup full. So when it runs over, it can run right over here. I won't make you clean it up. Praise the Lord. It's good when the Lord runs over on somebody. And I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling you the truth. If you're sitting beside somebody and don't ever run over, you might need to change seats. I like it when my cup gets full, but I like it when somebody else's cup gets full. Amen. Randy's going to fill up and run over on me. I want to run over on Randy, Tony, and Debbie. I want to flow over the bench back there. Amen. There's been a few times. I try not to stare, but I'll be up there and the Holy Spirit be getting all over me. And I'm like, thank you, Lord Jesus. And out of the corner of my eye right here, the way I see it, with this leg, I don't know why I do that, cocked up underneath this other leg, I'm sort of tilted a little bit like that, the way I'm looking at him. And out of the corner of my eye, I can see Brother Tony once, so I go, and it just flows right up there on me. I can tell the Lord done getting a hold of it. Amen. And then when some of them stood and praised the Lord this morning, it was running over on me. And then when Riley said she got saved, it ran over on me. I liked it. But we can run over on one another. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy gonna follow me all the days of my life. There's been a few old men of God. I can't wait as time goes on I get to pull some of this. They'll be going out of church. Brother Guy will say, see you later, Brother Jeff. And I said, all right, Brother Guy, I love you. He'll say, come on, goodness and mercy. Come on, goodness and mercy. Y'all, I'm fixing to leave and go to the house. Y'all come on and get in the car. Sometimes I've said, come on, Ryan and Naomi. But boy, it's good. And I say, come on, goodness and mercy. It's time to go to church. Amen. How many of you brought goodness and mercy with you this morning? And when we do, service gets so good. David said, you know what? I'll just move in that church house if it's all right. We visit. He said, I'll dwell. You know what a dwelling place is? A place where you stay. Somebody might say, well, you can't stay in church all the time, Brother Jeff. We got to go to work. That's why God said he made our house his temple. Our body is the temple of the Lord. And wherever this body goes, God goes. Wherever God goes, goodness and mercy goes. Praise the Lord. Wherever goodness and mercy goes, your cup's going to get overflowed. And then when we get in the presence of our enemies, I've been at a few banquets. How many of you have ever been to a banquet? Raise your hand. Just a few of you. I've been to a few banquets. Boy, they set it out there nice. How many of you have ever been on a cruise? Raise your hand. A few of you. Boy, some of that food was so good, I wouldn't care the person that hates me down the core of their bone. I would have ate good that night. That guy come by, sir, you need anything else? Yeah, fill me back up if you don't mind. Bring me some of that sobered or sobered. I can't even remember what you call it. Getting excited here. Let me... We thought it was ice cream that was supposed to clean the taste out of your mouth and get ready for the next good entree. Brother Randy, sometimes the Holy Spirit is so good we think we got the main course and he's just getting us ready for what's coming after it. Amen. The best meeting you've ever been in is just a little taste of getting you ready what heaven's going to be like. I want to come get a verse of song this morning. I know a lot's prayed. And I do. I feel like there's others that need to come and pray. Is goodness and mercy following you? If you let things happen in your life, it's caused you to lose your joy. Caused you to lose your happiness. Have you let the devil rob you of being in good meetings? I've seen so many people. And I could go back, and I'm not getting on to nobody, I'm just telling you my life. Brother DB, there was some years I could have been singing for the Lord. But I had my eyes on other things till I got saved. Got out of church. There's been people that I thought some of the greatest Sunday school teachers, and even today they still sit at home. Brother Darrell could have been teaching for 30, 40 years. Ever since I've known him, for 20, 25 years, and I've heard how powerful teaching they had. And men after men after men after men, young men. He was over the young men's classes, still in church and solid, Brother Tony. But he still sits at home with a talent to play the guitar. Could have been singing, could have been teaching the Lord's Word. I know men that I heard preach when I was a young boy, on fire for the Lord, pastoring churches. Their daughters play the piano, people shouting. Devil get in there and bust the home up. He's not preaching anymore. She married a Church of Christ guy. She don't play the piano no more. Don't believe you're supposed to play music in church. It's amazing to me somebody can believe they ain't supposed to do something in church and God's wanting to give them the talent. So what is the devil robbing us of out of you? Every person in here God wants to use. I said every person in here God wants to use. From the littlest to the biggest. From the smallest and the youngest to the oldest. You don't have to be the pastor to be used. You don't have to be the main singer to be used. I told a fellow one time, and I was just the truth's the truth, Brother D.B., even if it hurts sometime. And he said something. He said, I thank God's calling me to preach. He'd been out of church for about 4 years, and I ain't even seen him in church. And the next time I see him, he said he felt like the Lord has called him to preach. And I said, you might learn how to be a Christian first before you start preaching. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to be an effective preacher if you can't be an effective Christian. You're not going to be an effective singer, teacher. You ain't even going to be effective in your testimony unless you live for the Lord. But if you'll do the best you can do to live for the Lord, hear what I'm saying. Even in the presence of your enemies, the Lord will set you a table out. I believe that with all my heart. I want us to rise to our feet. You feel the need to pray this morning. Do you? The Lord's touched your heart. You feel like you need to come and pray. Now would be the time to come. Come on, Brother Nick. Whatever verse of song's on your heart.